God's blessings to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Thursday morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Jude chapter 1, verses 5 through 13. The Reverend Hans Feeney is preaching. The broadcast at Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Jude. Now I want to remind you all, you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I doubt I'll ever actually do this, but every time I have someone join my congregation, that's just sort of the standard practice. I'm tempted to do this. Where you put together a little basket, little welcome basket with some fruit and bread or whatever you normally put in those things. But then I also would put in a bunch of letters in sealed envelopes. Letters that I tell people not to open until I tell them. Letters with titles associated with the kind of sin stuff that typically comes up in parish life and pastoral council. Letters with things written on them like premarital cohabitation, or youth sports, or mad about volunteer stuff that's happening at church. Then, if there ever comes a day when they get caught up in one of those categories, I ask them to come meet with me and to bring the letter corresponding to the issue. So, for example, if a young woman who has grown up in the congregation and her boyfriend move in together outside of marriage, I ask them about it, and I say, well, why don't you come and sit down with me and bring that letter that says premarital cohabitation. So they sit down with me, and I say to them, well, what's going on here? And the young lady says, well, Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but we're not like other people. We're not just doing this because we're in the throes of lust or because we don't believe in marriage. We believe in marriage so much that we want to make sure that we don't get divorced. That's why we have to find out if we're compatible first. So then I asked the young lady to open up the letter that I gave her family when they joined all those years ago, and she does. And I say, read it out loud. And the letter says, Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but we're not like other people. We're not in the throes of lust. We're not doing this because we don't believe in marriage. We believe in marriage so much that we don't want to get divorced. That's why we have to find out if we're compatible first. So the young lady stares at me in disbelief and says, are you some kind of a prophet? How did you know what I was going to say? And I say, no, I'm not a prophet. I just knew what you were going to say because that's what everybody always says in that position. When people talk themselves into sin, they always do it the same way, by telling themselves that they're special, that they're different, that the word of God doesn't really apply to them in this way like it does to other people, that the fire that burned others won't burn them, that they can walk right up to the jaws of the devil and not get devoured. Sinners always think they're special, but they never are. They're always just repeating the words of the people who came before them. This is something we see in our reading from Jude when he talks about the blasphemers of his day walking in the way of Cain and abandoning themselves for the sake of gain like Balaam and perishing like those in Korah's rebellion. When jealousy overwhelmed Cain, sin was crouching at his door, but he thought he was different, better, bolder, and stronger than his parents and his brother. And then he quickly became a murderer. So it was with everyone in Jude's day who thought he could also master sin by walking towards it. So it is with everyone in our day who thinks the same. Likewise, Balaam knew that he could not fully curse God, but still entwined himself and hired himself out to those who insisted upon doing so, only to die at the hands of the Israelites. So it is for those who think they're wise enough to keep one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. Korah pridefully insisted that Moses and Aaron were denying him his share of an office that he wanted to be his own. The same demand made by every prideful sinner who has refused to be content with what God gave him and insists on taking what he hasn't, and they all end up swallowed up by wrath in one form or another. You are not special. You're not different. Sin works the same way for you that it does for everyone else. If you embrace iniquity, you walk within the reach of the demons who are chained, and most certainly chained, but not chained like the damsel in distress on the train tracks. They're chained like a ferocious dog on a leash. Walk away from God into the darkness, into the realm and the reach of the chains, and the devil will simply tear you to pieces. No amount of self-justification will change that. So don't foolishly try to find your value in how close you can get to the jaws of the beast without being devoured. Find your value in the one who chained the beast, the one who shattered the skull of the serpent upon the cross. Look to Christ and you will see that you are something more than different or special. You are loved deeply and profoundly from the very depths of the divine heart that created this very world to know you, the heart that has cherished you before you even began to form in your mother's womb. When you feasted on God without fear and were thus feasted upon by Satan, Jesus went to the cross and took your place in his fangs, then shattered them when he rose on the third day. When you were waterless clouds swept along by winds, Jesus took you to the river of life, to the saving waters of baptism, and with the wind of his dying breath gave you the right to live forever. When you were a fruitless tree twice dead and uprooted, Jesus Christ was the tree of life that gave you life through the tree of his death. When you were wild waves upon the sea and wandering stars, Jesus Christ was your calming command and your morning star fair and bright. In the hour of your need, your Lord refused to see you as one of countless, nameless, faceless sinners who had all brought ruin upon themselves in the same way. And he saw you as something more and even special. He saw you as priceless, someone he wanted to make a precious child of God. And he has, with his dying breath, with his eruption from the tomb, and through his ascent to the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ has made you something infinitely greater and different and infinitely greater than special. He has made you his very own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.